Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Tech Raptor podcast. I'm Robert Scarpinito, your features editor.
And Rotten Editor-in-Chief.
Rutledge Doggett, site founder.
Andrew Stretch, breakout hit editor.
Breakout hit editor. You're in a hi-fi rush this week.
He sees any breakout hits and says, we got to put an end to this now. And he edits it away.
None of that. No fun. This is a serious games job.
That's right.
Yeah, video games are always serious.
He's always going on about ludonarrative dissonance when we're not recording. It's
Ludo.
Don't get him started.
You don't want to hear about it.
No. This week we're going to talk about the new Horizon DLC, Burning Shores, and a couple other games like Stray Blade and Realm Grinder. But first, let's dive into some news. Hi-Fi Rush, that surprise beat drop from earlier this year from Tango Gameworks and Xbox, is both a financial failure and a breakout hit, according to whoever you want to ask at the on the Twitter bar, because there was a point where Mr. Jeff Grubb, you might know from Giant Bomb, also known for just kind of being a little bit of an insider and just kind of like getting some leaks and things going, has just offhandedly said that Xbox has said that this is a financial failure in some ways, or didn't quite hit the mark for them. And then Xbox's Aaron Greenberg, right? Said, nope, it was a breakout hit, did very well for us. To which Jeff kind of like, not quite rolled back his statement, was just like, this is just what I heard, not making a statement or like a you know, fact-based thing. So we're just kind of in this weird, like he said, she said, about Hi-Fi Rush success.
To be fair a little bit to Jeff, it's not like he's like, here's my fresh report. Yeah. Let me report. He just said, hey, I heard it didn't sell as well, like in a conversation. He's like, I heard this didn't sell quite as much as they wanted. And it was like that casual. Right. And everybody's like, oh my God, and ran with it. Mm-hmm. He put out some clarifying stuff about it. He's like, well. And he mentions too, like he doesn't know what success looks like for Xbox now. Right. Because with Game Pass.
Exactly. That's what I was going to bring up, is like, okay, sure, even if it didn't sell well, that doesn't mean it's like a failure necessarily, yeah. Right? Because like, I think Xbox's goal, in the same way like Netflix isn't going to say, oh, we didn't sell as many Irishman Blu-rays as we wanted to. Well, like that, because everyone fucking watched it on your streaming service.
Because you'd need two fucking Blu-rays to watch it so long.
Yeah, I mean, it's the exact same thing that we see in the music industry that you know, artists were commended by the number of CDs sold, and now it's on, you know, how many plays they have on Spotify. And also in the same way that, you know, Xbox doesn't talk about how many sales of consoles they have made, which is, you know, that, well, Sony will be like,
there's another sold reason this that many. They did that. They're doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. But that Xbox is, you know, they're just following a different path.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Great to hear that Hi-Fi Rush, you know, has apparently internally been a success, because it was fun.
Yeah, I think I saw that Tango Gameworks is like expanding now, mm-hmm. in terms of number of employees, which is pretty great to hear. And like, I'm excited to see what they do next.
Most financial failures lead to expansion of teams. That's true.
Right? Yes, that is exactly how it works.
That's mm-hmm. my understanding.
Yeah, the less money you have, the more you have to spread around.
You're on it.
Figured
out.
We need like the game dev equivalent of the producers. It's like, you can make a game that scores a 1 out of 10 and you can actually make money because people will play it.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people that are doing that not as a joke.
Yes.
Attempting to do that.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, that's basically what they're doing with like Batgirl and stuff like that. Kind of a one-to-one correlation there, oddly.
Yeah.
So you're saying that Tango Gameworks is going to get like 90% of the way through developing their next game and then scrap it.
Yeah. Hi-Fi Rush 2 scrapped. Mm-hmm. Heard it here.
Yeah, just for the tax breaks. Yeah.
Exactly. That should be your new thing. Your name is Scrappy, and mm-hmm. then we should. You're doing a thing about scrapped games that sells itself.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. like a weekly column.
Yeah,
you want to start with Scalebound?
Yeah,
makes me think about Scalebound.
Yeah,
so excited for that game.
Start.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't too long ago that was it. Phil was saying that, like, hey, like it's, you know, it's on the table potentially or something.
Shut up, Phil.
I feel like
until it's on the shelf behind him, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, until I see it behind him.
Yeah. Just saying, Phil, not even Spencer, just Phil. My buddy Phil.
Context clues.
He said that scale bound's happening.
Yeah. Context clue, you have him on speed dial.
No, not even speed dial. There's I've modded my phone that there's just like a big red.
You see that light behind him? There's a microphone and camera in it.
It's a direct line. Watching. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He just
talking about it.
Yeah, he has a landline somewhere in his house that is just, he picks it up and it's Phil on the other. That's it. You can't dial anything.
Phil's like there.
It's like the red phone from Powerpuff Girls, but it's Xbox green.
You know, it is an interesting thing about Hi-Fi Rush in terms of like, Xbox kind of needs a win in the gaming, in the game department. They have multiple wins in the like market and like their
services
and how they have their stuff set up. No, they're unquestionably ahead of everybody on that. No question. The games though, hurting. And as much as I love Mr. Phil Spencer, there's not really a big hit game under his belt.
Is this Redfall erasure happening right now in the
technical? Redfall hasn't even come out. Redfall's gonna be a solid 7.5-8 game.
You heard it here first, folks.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's funny. Like, I don't know. Because as much as I love Phil, it's like, man, you just have whatever it is that they have. And I know, obviously, he can't just make good game and then happens. That's not how it works. But it's kind of like, man, Xbox in terms of first party stuff hasn't really. Obviously, this is the year where it's make or break. If they don't have it this year for Starfield and
Redfall
sucks. then they're like kind of fucked.
Yeah, I mean, well, they're on the horizon, right? They have Fable 4
Perfect Dark.
The quadruple A video game, but yeah. No, I'm thinking of Avowed, which looks like Obsidian's take on Skyrim, and Outer Worlds 2. They've confirmed they're working on, right?
There's always lots of stuff that's supposedly happening.
Yeah, I mean, these have been supposedly for years. Problem. These events supposedly happening, yeah.
There's also Hellblade 2.
Mm. That's true.
Remember a Kojima game coming.
But Hellblade 2 was like, not a launch title, but it was like, we've announced the new generation of Xbox. Here is Hellblade 2 tech demo footage.
And that tech demo is pretty fucking cool still.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hellblade 2 was announced during the Game Awards 2019.
Yeah.
It's been almost 4 years since that.
So like when you think of like Hi-Fi Rush, it's an interesting conversation because it's definitely a critical hit. People loved it. It was good, reviewed well, people generally liked it. But in terms of, it is interesting for them to think about in terms of their success because they don't have games have not really been, it's weirdly games that they've made not been the drivers of their success
right
for the past few years. So they really like need one that is.
Even with the huge purchase, when they did the big purchase of BioWare, who am I thinking of?
EA BioWare.
Yeah,
forever ago.
Are you thinking of ZeniMax, like Bethesda? And
Bethesda. That's the B word that I was going for. Like they purchased Bethesda, and we've got like this stuff that's kind of on, you know, that we know is coming out. But a big thing at the moment was for them to be able to be like, oh, all of these games, boom, dropped on Game Pass. And it's like, you know, moved it onto their collection. Since 2019 or since the launch of the Xbox, there's kind of just been this consistent thing of like, oh, they've got big stuff coming. And then you think, well, they've been saying that for years now. What happened with all of that? And just... Yeah. Every big thing, like they've been nailing it with, I think, with a bunch of their smaller stuff.
Yes,
that's what I was gonna say. The big, this is going to get your Call of Duty Madden, you know, player onto Xbox. They just keep tripping and stumbling at the finish line.
Yeah. I wonder how much they're really like upset about how much they fucked Halo over, like how badly
they've got to be pissed.
Like even like if people might still be playing. I don't know how. I don't see it talked about as much. So I don't think it's that popular. But like, they needed it to be like something people are still talking about on a daily basis, like big time
kind of game.
And it's just not.
Well, and also Steam right now, there's 4,400 people playing.
Ooh, rough. That's
That's not a lot, but also I wonder how many people would be playing it on PC via the Xbox app. You know, those are numbers.
I don't know.
And I'm thinking too, if we look at the future of Xbox, where if they do acquire Activision Blizzard, right, then in-house they will have both Overwatch and Call of Duty competing with their own Halo baby, which is kind of Gears an interesting coming position too. To be. Yeah. So it's like they're kind of cannibalizing their own if they do end up owning Activision Blizzard, you know?
I mean, maybe somewhat. They're pretty different. Overwatch is its own thing for sure. I don't see that as a Call of Duty competitor in my head at all.
I guess I'm just thinking of like competitive shooter type games. But yeah, I guess they are they're different enough.
Yeah, I mean, each of those three, Call of Duty, Halo, and Gears, have very different multiplayer styles to them. They're definitely distinct. I think that Halo probably does not have the same pull as Call of Duty for some people just because of the different play style,
right?
But much longer time to kill, so on and so forth.
Even then, at the moment, a huge draw with the Activision contract is whatever day they're able to say, hey, every single Call of Duty is now available on Game Pass, and like that's probably going to be a bigger piece of news than, you know, when they then launch whatever that next game is.
Yeah. God, can you imagine though, like down the line, we see similar reports as this, like with the Hi-Fi Rush, like was it a not great sales or did well? But could you imagine in the future, we see this for like a Call of Duty game, you know, just someone leaking or saying, oh, I overheard that Microsoft said Call of Duty 28, guns a-blazing, didn't sell as many copies as they hoped.
It's an interesting thing to think, because like, well, I think Call of Duty is always going to sell a lot, but in terms of Game Pass for like the new Call of Duty, it's an interesting thing to wonder if like they're going to, I'm sure they will keep committed to the day one Game Pass thing, but it's like, they know people will shell out full price for this every year. And a lot of people, because it's usually like the number one selling game almost every year, or close to it. Like, it's up there.
Yeah. I mean, it's still going to be on PlayStation and PC and all that.
Yeah. So it makes you wonder about that, because if you're thinking of like, oh, we're selling subscriptions, where does it equal out? I don't know.
I wonder if that's part of them continuing to sell it on PlayStation, on Switch, on PC. Is that it lets them have a really enticing draw to Game Pass to get like the consistent like Netflix recurring payment kind of money. But they're still going to sell so many fucking full price copies of the game on PC and on PlayStation that it's not going to overall dent the game.
For some people, buying it on Xbox may be a bigger draw than Games Pass. You know, I think there's a lot of gamers out there who could give two shits about what other games might be on the platform. Oh, I just want Call of Duty. I just want Madden, so on and so forth.
I think this is a smaller audience too, but I bet there is a group of people who are Game Pass subscribers, but they don't buy Call of Duty every year because they're like, oh, it's kind of the same game every year, so whatever. But then they already have Game Pass, and it's like, well, I mean, I can check out the new Call of Duty for free, quote unquote. So
then you suddenly have more. I would be one of those people. I think the Call of Duty campaigns are usually pretty fun. I don't care about the multiplayer. I'll play through their campaigns though.
I've always heard the campaigns are great, but all I've ever had exposure to is the multiplayer. So I'm looking forward to it to actually like go and check out a Call of Duty campaign.
Yeah, the campaigns are usually very solid.
Call of Duty 4's campaign is what put Call of Duty on the map. Like it was relatively popular before that. Like they weren't a small franchise, but like that's the one that was like holy fuck for everybody.
Yeah. And then also the
granted, it has one of the most polarizing scenes as well.
That's Modern Warfare 2.
Oh, was that Warfare? That's right.
The one that literally was taken out of the game in some countries, or like you couldn't play it in some countries. Yeah. Yeah, no, that was Modern Warfare 2. Yeah. Well, while we're on the talk about big acquisitions that will change the course of the games industry, let's talk about Sony's huge acquisition of Firewalk Studios.
Who's that?
You know, they make those really big games like Call of Duty and Crash Bandicoot. Oh, shit. Like, well, on the level. I think you're
mixed. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, no. Firewalk Studios is a newer studio.
Wait a minute. Just before you move on, you said you went from Call of Duty to Crash Bandicoot. Like,
the biggest franchises.
Those
are one-to-one. Blizzard.
Yeah.
Now give Crash a gun. Those are
the two that I would come up with, too.
Same. Yeah, I'm surprised that Sony isn't talking about Crash Bandicoot more. But no, they're gonna acquire Firewalk Studios. They're a team of former Bungie folks that have not yet made a game or like published a game as far as I'm aware, but they have a lot of experience with multiplayer gaming type things. And they're based in Bellevue, Washington, just across the pond from Seattle here. And I imagine this is probably in line with it was a couple of years ago that Sony said they have like what 11 or 12 multiplayer live service games like in development. Like
they're just scattershot with these games of service games and hoping one sticks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I imagine that Firewalk Studios has been brought in to assist with one of those projects.
Yeah. I mean, they're working on their own IP, I thought, so maybe it's instance of they were building that. Sony came in to look at it, see the progress, and they were like, yeah, no, we want you on board.
That makes sense.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But you know. That's all. Some might say this is very hypocritical of Sony.
It's true.
Some might say.
No, I agree. They buy companies. How dare.
Yeah. Because if I'm understanding the story right, it's not that PlayStation plans to acquire. It's that PlayStation has acquired.
Yep.
Right. Welcome to the family, Firewalk Studios, TM, registered trademark.
That team that was already making a game for Sony anyway, exclusively.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's just very different from, because, you know, still to this day, the Microsoft story is technically plans to acquire.
Yeah, they hasn't happened. Blizzard. Hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. I mean, granted, obviously, it's a little bit of a bigger.
Just a little bit.
Probably like a lot of money is involved. Government bodies are involved from literally all over the world.
Just a few billions more.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if the paperwork for this came across the FCC's desk, they'd be like, I don't give a fuck. Yeah, go, just do it. Sure, who cares?
What is a Firewalk Studios and why do I care?
Yeah, so not quite equal here. I don't know.
It's funny to see some people try to imply that. It's like, what are you high on, right? Like, what?
Yeah, it's like that. That also, is not an.
If it was anywhere within the same scope, they would have announced a number with it.
Yeah.
Well, and Sony's not stupid enough to do something of that size right now.
Yeah, they'll wait until after.
If they're doing that, it's going to be a couple years from now. So yeah, we got to put that stink behind us for a little bit. Yeah.
And then like, they'll acquire Ubisoft.
Yeah, well, if Ubisoft, you know, survives that long, they might get it for cheap. It might not be as big of a deal.
69 pennies, not $1 billion.
Yeah, I don't know, but
yeah,
I don't know. I hate the whole Xbox Sony's fanboys. Like, dude, they're both massive companies that want to take your money and don't give a fuck about you.
Neither
why
are
you fanboying for them? Neither care about you.
Yeah, they both and I feel like. Suck. This isn't even close to equivalent because it's like name one Xbox game Firewalk Studios was planning to make. Like,
yes, zero, literally none.
Oh, do you want better? I can't even name a Firewalk Studios game.
Yeah,
because it hasn't been announced yet.
Yeah, so it's just it seems kind of silly when people are like, you know, trying to call the pot black.
Yeah.
Kettle calling, kettle calling the pot.
You know, the phrasing.
That idiom, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just silly to see that happen here.
I mean, you gotta fight over your favorite plastic box.
I guess.
Hey, there's some metal in those boxes.
Right, they're not 100% plastic.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Like
80%. It's just the part that usually melts.
80% plastic. Yeah. It's just overall silly to me that. You know, there's such a big stink over it, especially for something this small potatoes, right? It's like,
Yeah,
yeah.
It's funny that like any acquisition by either of them now is just going to be big news, no matter how insignificant it is. Not to say this is insignificant. It's still pretty small time. I mean, who knows? Maybe their game will be a massive game. I don't know.
I mean, it could be, but I don't imagine the acquisition was big because Sony did announce the acquisition to Bungie back in last year, right? But I think they attached a number to it. I want to say it was around 4 million.
Million?
Was it billion?
It was not millions.
Yeah.
It was not 4 million, I don't think.
3.6 billion.
Yeah, I'll say
3.6 billion.
I'll say if it was 4 million, we should have tried to scrounge up that money ourselves.
Yeah, we Tech Raptors publishing Destiny. but no, 3.6 billion. Yeah, which is still quite a bit of money. So I imagine this Firewalk Studios thing was probably less than that.
Probably.
If it were more, they probably would have said something.
I mean, especially with an unannounced IP. Yeah. I mean, you know, say the next story, like Sega purchased Rovio for $775 million. There's no way it's more than that.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Which is a good way for us to lead into that, right? So Sega is also has announced that they have acquired Rovio, which you'll know from that little known mobile game Angry Birds, the little red guy.
I know them from the movies. The Angry Birds movies.
Right. Are you also familiar with Nintendo as the movie people? Nintendo?
Dude, they just put out a really good movie.
Yeah. they should make a game about that guy.
It felt very gamey.
Yeah, it did.
Took you that cart section. Mm-hmm.
To take on me. But aha. Uh-huh. Yeah.
No. Bad.
Sega does plan to purchase the entirety of Rovio's outstanding shares and options at a total value of 706 million euros or $775 million. And the acquisition is, quote, a friendly takeover, as Rovio has agreed to and expressed support for the offer.
Yes. Sega, I mean, they're going to reband Angry Birds completely as Sonic.
Angry Hogs.
Angry Birds is now going to be part of the canon of Sonic. He's going to show up. There'll be some cinematic. It'll be one of the pigs.
If Sega, like Sega, because we know, of course, Sega is listening. If you want money for a mobile division, make a fucking Chao Garden. True. It would be so easy. True. Take a Chao Garden and like let you like update it with different Sonic games that you have and like get
people would be pretty excited outfits. For that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's so easy. Yeah.
Are you saying, just for clarification, are you saying we fling the Chows at buildings?
Yeah.
Angry Chows?
That could be a mini game, yeah.
Does Rovio make anything else other than Angry Birds? I don't know much about them.
And it's so funny. It's even like separated out on the Wikipedia page for Rovio Entertainment that before releasing Angry Birds in 2009, they actually released 51 different games.
All the way back to the N-Gage.
Yeah, like mobile Java games and stuff. And then since Angry Birds, they have released about another 50 games. That is like Angry Birds, Angry Birds Seasons, Angry Birds Rio, Angry Birds Space, Angry Birds Star Wars, Angry Birds Friends, Star Wars 2, Go, Epic, Stella, Transformers, Pop 2, Fight, Action, Blast, Evolution, Match, Dream Blast, VR, Reload. There's an Angry Birds Reloaded.
So all of these things have the word Angry Birds in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Angry That's Birds beautiful. Transformers.
Yeah, Angry Birds Transformers. It came out in 2014.
Wow, amazing. So it really is mostly Angry Birds.
I think my total Angry Birds playtime is maybe 30 minutes.
I remember I got the first one on like my iPod Touch. I got one of the second generation iPod Touches.
That
got the big update. I was like, when everyone would play the bootleg DDR game on jailbroken iPod Touches.
Tap, right?
Is that
what it's called? Yeah, Tap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And everyone had
were cool. Yeah. And everyone had like the same like tilt the phone beer drinking app and
the gun app where you pointed the thing and you, shot that gun.
There was one that was like a lighter too, right? Like a Zippo lighter. Yeah.
And the simpler times. Gotta have the lightsaber one.
Yeah. God. I too had, I think, a second gen iPod Touch.
Yeah. And now it's like, you can play Monster Hunter by walking around your city and picking up items and fighting creatures. Yeah. It's like a very different place we're at with mobile games.
Different world.
Yeah. Well, now that we've alienated everyone under 24, what I find maybe the most interesting in this is this gives Sega a little more oomph in the movie department too, doesn't it? Because there has, as you've said earlier, there's an Angry Birds movie out there. And there as we know, two Sonic. Of them. Yes, and there's two Sonic the Hedgehog movies. And we know this. We know the
crossover.
Exactly. What if we get Shadow the Bird?
Well, and they just announced that they were starting principal photography on the Knuckles movie.
Oh, that's right. I forgot they're doing a Knuckles thing.
Really?
Yeah.
That's right. Huh. Dude, you're not ready for the Sonic cinematic universe, man.
Is anyone?
We're going.
Now with Angry Birds.
It's starting just like Marvel, where it went Iron Man 2, and now we're just, they're building the Sonic Avengers.
So Knuckles is Captain America.
Yes.
First soldier.
Big enough, Auden, here, because we've now got, what you should say that we've actually got, we've got a couple Sonic movies, we've got the Mario movie, and we've got Detective Pikachu.
Smash Universe.
Yeah.
We did a whole pod about the Smash Cinematic Universe a while ago.
We did.
Yeah.
That's like one of our first 10 podcasts.
Yeah. I think it was. Mm-hmm. That would be so rad. If there's somebody talking, like if we could ever get to some fucking weird movie that starts out with like Mario getting transported somewhere, like what the fuck is going on here? And then like Captain Falcon shows up, you're like, what the hell?
Just punches the shit out of Mario. Just murders him.
Yeah, right, him there. Just trying to survive.
Yeah.
That'd be such a great movie.
I'm trying to remember, did Wreck-It Ralph have an Angry Bird in it? Because it had Sonic in it.
I want to say I remember seeing like one of the pigs.
I like it.
Maybe. So maybe they already have a crossover that we just...
And the pigs were in the same movie already.
Yeah. Huh.
Although was Sonic only in the first one? He was very briefly.
It was just like a cameo.
In an advertisement, yeah.
Yeah.
He was only there because Nintendo said no.
Probably.
No, that's actually true.
Oh, is it?
They said no to Mario.
Mario is too good for this.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. But yeah, that's another just, you know, I mean, not as big acquisition, right? But it's still just another acquisition.
I'm wondering if we'll see more. Yeah, consulting like these bigger companies, like Sega is one of the bigger publishers.
Yeah.
Wanting to get into mobile, because mobile is kind of like the steady income thing. Mm-hmm. Like we've said a bunch of times, in the Activision Blizzard thing, nobody's bringing up King, and that's really the big thing. That's the big acquisition. As big as Activision Blizzard are, King is the moneymaker. Mm-hmm. In terms of investment on return, like it makes a fucking ton of money.
Yeah. And you're seeing a lot of other big AAA studios doing mobile too.
Yep, and they're like they're wanting to get it, so like buying someone that knows the space makes sense. Like, okay, here's a steady stream of income that probably doesn't take as much effort as making a massive AAA game that takes 7 years to develop. Right. Kind of thing.
Yeah. So when you even see EA, you know, I know they have like a mobile version of The Sims, if I remember right.
Yeah. They were doing a lot of stuff early. Like they did the what was it? I don't know, I'll remember later. But they've been doing things. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was thinking too, I know it was kind of within the past month or so, right, that Atlus released that China only Persona mobile game.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm wondering how this Rovio acquisition is going to play into that sort of space. I don't remember what developer is making that China only
I don't remember game. Either.
Yeah. Like Persona 5X, I think is what it's called, or something like that.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Because, you know, Atlus is a Sega-owned studio. Yeah, so
true.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see if Rovio is going to make some sort of, maybe tap into some Atlus properties as well. Or like, hell, even Yakuza. A Yakuza mobile game full of mini games only.
Dude, I don't even want to know what that would be. I'm already in. I don't play many mobile games, but I would be down.
Yeah. EA is actually already pretty huge in mobile because, as I always forget, they've got Plants vs. Zombies.
That's true. That's right. They're one of the. That's right. They bought them forever ago.
As well as Peggle and Bejeweled.
That's right. Yeah. So they own Zynga, right?
No, that's Take Two.
Oh, no.
Oh. I thought Zynga was. Anyway, it's another big one. Another big one.
Yeah, I think Take Two bought up Zynga. That was a record-breaking
That was one of those. That was one of those. Yeah, that was humongous.
Yeah, so I think it's EA. They own PopCap, if I remember right.
Yeah, PopCap's the Panzer Zombies.
Yeah.
People. That's right.
So everyone's getting in the mobile space too. Mobile is the future of video games.
People forget about Take Two if you mentioned them. Like, hey, that's Grand Theft Auto guys. Like, they're huge.
It's really kind of. Nintendo is weirdly the one that I would say is lacking the most, but I guess even they have some,
but they don't have that many.
Are you all dissing Mario Run? Super Mario Run? Mario Kart Go?
I did also play that. I
forgot Mario Kart.
I also played that. I don't remember what else they have.
Technically, don't they sort of have Pokemon Go?
Oh yeah. They might have like the biggest. The biggest mobile game.
Yeah, I mean, Pokemon's always weird because it's like that's technically Pokemon company, but also
Nintendo.
It's basically,
they got Nintendo. Fire Emblem Heroes.
Oh yeah,
Animal Crossing and Mario Kart and Super Mario Run.
Yeah, you remember that Animal Pokemon Crossing. Go game where you'd see a million people outside that you never saw outside before?
Yeah, I mean, I still can't
think of touching grass.
I can't think of a mobile game that has had that sort of
social activation. Crazy. Like, we have a local park that's got a pond and a walk, track around it. Usually, not that many people. Like, it was packed after that came out. I came down there. It was just a stream of people the entire way, just playing Pokemon Go. It was bizarre.
And famously, you made the news related to Pokemon.
I did. I got the shit beat out of me over Pokemon Go. That shit's no joke, man.
Fair.
Google it. Google my name.
Google his whole
Andrew
name.
Andrew Otten. Pokemon Go. Beaten up.
Yeah.
It'll come up. It's a news story.
That's, I mean, to pivot slightly to talk about how Niantic did just announce Monster Hunter Now, which for SEO, what a shit name.
Give me Monster Hunter Now.
Monster Hunter Now.
But I just, like, Niantic has tried to have like any kind of activation on the same level, and it is just not happening. And I don't think that Monster Hunter is going to be it as well.
Pokemon is such a uniquely positioned to be the perfect thing that marries that.
Yeah.
Because they've tried there's like a Harry Potter one.
Right.
There was the Harry Potter one that shut down. They announced the Transformers one, and then that didn't even make it past dev. They've got a basketball one that just launched.
Oh.
Like, I collect NBA players? That feels wrong.
I don't know. I looked at it and I was like, huh, that's weird, and moved on.
Yeah.
They've got the Pikmin Bloom.
That's right. There's that Pikmin one.
But,
you know, I'm not really hearing anyone talk about that.
Okay. I think to your point, though, I think Pokemon is the one that's uniquely positioned.
It's just so perfectly.
Yeah. Like if there were any other IP I could think of that would do it, it was Harry Potter, and that didn't do it. So in terms of just like, you know, a more casual fan base that would, you know, obviously have smartphones and be open to doing this sort of thing.
I suppose.
Yeah. But I don't foresee Monster Hunter is going to do the same. I don't know about you guys. Like, it took me 6 times to try to get into Monster Hunter, and I see that as I'm going to sit down and focus for 1 hour on this dude. It's like that kind of game. It's not I'm going to go outside and catch a Rathalos in the park.
But
are you going to be like having a 45-minute battle catching it at your local park?
Right. Yeah. You walk for 10 minutes to stand for 45 minutes to walk another 5 minutes to stand for 40 more minutes.
They do actually
playing Monster Hunter Now.
They do have some decent stuff in it. Like, as you're walking, the monsters that you walk by will automatically get paintballed, and then like when you arrive at your destination, then you can fight any of those monsters that have been paintballed. So it's not like you need to do it when you are like right there and then, like Pokemon. They've still got all of the like the limits for how far and how close you can be from people. No proper online multiplayer. But all of like the combat in the game will be done with like taps and swipes, and every battle is limited to 75 seconds.
Oh, thank God.
So as you were talking about how long battles take, it's like, no, that's like, we have the hard number on this is how long a battle will be, a minute and a bit.
So that's good. It's good at least.
It's going to be weird.
Yeah. Well, let's shift over and talk about some games. Auden, you went to LA not to play Dead Island 2, but to play the DLC for Horizon Forbidden West.
I did.
How do you feel about Burning Shores?
Sorry.
Okay, good. Okay. All right, Rhett, you've been playing.
Shortest game review ever.
You're not angry like the rest of the internet that
I don't even know what they're angry about.
Gay.
I don't know.
So fucking weird.
I haven't played a ton of it. I've played a few hours, several hours of it. It feels weirdly empty, which I wasn't expecting. Like, I just run around. I'm like, there's fucking nothing here. And it's just one of those, like, I think it. never mind. No, I'm safe. Anyway, I know one of the things that like makes it a little less exciting is like there's some new machine things to fight, not many, and you know it's kind of populated with the stuff you've already seen, and so it's always like, oh, that's already not interesting. I'll just blaze over that and pass on by that. So maybe I just feels empty because I'm just not interested in me like. There's some more wide maws. Okay. Mm. Bye, wide maws. I'm not fucking with you.
Right.
And so it's a lot of that kind of stuff. I think it might be doing it. Story stuff makes sense where it would go.
Right. Because this is a direct continuation of the
story. It picks up more or less right after where the sequel ends. But yeah, it's not super exciting, I guess. It's more of the same, which is fine. But I don't know. I don't know what I expected, but I was hoping for something a little more different going on.
And were you a big fan of the base game of 2?
Yeah, I liked it. It's just way too fucking much going. It was too big. Yeah. Too big. But I enjoyed it. I liked it. I had fun. I think the combat's still pretty fun because I think that if you're particularly playing a harder difficulty, like you actually really engage with their systems a lot of like the different elements of things that you definitely want to use traps. You want to kind of a lot of things make sense to use more often. Where you know if you're just shooting something normal, you just use the regular bow and fuck it off. But that stuff's still good. Like those things will still fuck your day up if you're not paying attention. But I don't know. I just it's an area to explore that's inflated. It seems bigger than it is because it's like islands. Like there's water, a lot of water.
Mm.
As you would expect like of LA.
Do you get like a boat or like a flying?
Well, I don't know how much I want to spoil the end of the game. Anyway, whatever. It's fucking been around. At the end of that, you get a flying sunwing thing you can fly on. So you can fly on that there. But of course, they fuck that up as soon as you get there. So like, oh, you can't fly right now.
Yeah.
So you get a boat. But that lasts like 30 minutes. So don't worry, you can fly again. not very long, but so I guess maybe that also helps with the feeling it's smaller, like it's you could just get around much quicker. Might be part of it too. But I mean, it's still a very well-made game. If you like Horizon, you'll like it,
right? In terms of the story, is it like, because I know that the base game ends in a way that's kind of like stay tuned for Horizon 3. Do you feel like this is kind of teasing more, like are you excited
for
where
the story is
going, or
I don't know. It felt like, oh, of course. Like, as soon as they said what it was, like, oh, yeah, I could have guessed. If you'd give me, like, 5 minutes to think about it, I could have guessed it, probably. this isn't spoiling too much. Like, part of their base game is that there's this, they're called, I think, the Zeniths. They're these super rich and powerful, basically got off planet before everything got fucked. And they figured out technology to keep themselves immortal, more or less. And untouchables where they can't be harmed, And something bad happened where they left to, so they had to come back to Earth for reasons. And that's the main antagonist of the game. And then you deal with them, and the this DLC is, there's one you did not deal with. He got away. He wasn't around. He's doing his own thing. So you track him down, and I'm assuming I will murder him at the end. Mm. I've not got to the end.
They're classic protagonist things.
I'm guessing I'm, you know, the good guy kills someone, and that's a good thing, right, as we all know. Mm-hmm. Good people kill people.
Yes, just like Batman.
Yep. So that's been, like I said, I could have, if I had thought about it, like, oh yeah, of course that's what they're gonna do. Mm-hmm. It was like, I heard Lance Reddick right away. I was like, oh, I was all sad. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
Bummer. I forgot. He's a big deal in that.
He's Silas?
Silence.
Yeah.
And he was one of the more interesting characters in the game. So it's like, damn, for the future of the franchise, that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm not super impressed by it right now, mm-hmm, this DLC. But, I mean, I feel like Horizon, it's more stuff.
Yeah, it's another reason to jump back into that world, right?
Yeah. And who knows? Maybe I haven't seen too much of the antagonist yet. Maybe he's really interesting. I haven't seen too much of him. I would say what's interesting about it is he knows Aloy's coming. He's like, oh, you're fucking here. I'm ready for you. Like, he saw stuff that went down. He's like, oh, fuck that. Like, I've learned something. So he knows whatever's going on.
Mm.
But
my final question for you is, like, for people who've done a lot on the main game's world, like that map, does this DLC give you a reason to re-explore the old map? Like, is it adding collectibles or new events or something? Or is it all in the new place, the new space?
All in the new place. Although, yeah, I don't think there's anything new back there. I got a new wind chime thing that you can bring back to the desert.
Oh,
if people know what I'm talking about.
I don't, but yeah, good. That's good.
But other than that, I have not seen anything that would take me back there.
Gotcha. Well, that's Horizon Forbidden West, Burning Shores, at DLC. It's out now. I think it's like $20 or so. Yeah. PS5 only, because you need the power of the PS5 to play the DLC of a game that you can play on the PS4.
Yes. So you can see the Hollywood sign in its broken down high def glory, 4K glory.
4K, 200 FPS. It's the only way to watch it. No.
That's a lie. Don't fall for that.
I'm still in 720.
How dare you?
Rut,
that's only because Rut embezzles all of our money, so we don't get paid. I can only afford a 720p TV.
It's like only 10 inches wide.
I think they even sell them anymore, do they? Like,
no, I had to go to Goodwill. That's how low we've gotten.
I picked up an old one.
Steals all our money. Someone gave it away for Craigslist for free. I had to spend gas money to go get it.
Well, Rut, you've been spending all of our money on this game called Realm Grinder.
Yeah.
Where's all that embezzled money going?
It's going into gyms. thanks to the start of the podcast and Kitten's Game, I've been on an idle kick for the last year and a fucking half.
I
ruined me.
You awoke something in him.
I did something bad to him. I still haven't even told him the game that I think is going to do more to him yet.
Yeah. I'm still a little scared about that one.
I mean, at this rate, Rhett might discover that game on his own.
He will not. Guaranteed.
Wow.
It's the most obscure niche shit.
It's not an idle game either. I don't think it'll be as addicting to him, but I cannot wait for the day that I tell him about it.
Well, what is it about Realm Grinder that's piquing your interest, Rhett? And what is
I don't know. I don't connect with mobile games very often. Most of them are just so easy to fall off of because, you know, no story, very kind of limited. And so I've been poking around at different idle games just because it's when you're watching a show or whatever, something to tap a couple times and then go back to what you're watching, which is kind of what I do on the computer with some of the ones I play, you know, between meetings and stuff. And I came across Realm Grinder, which is, it's an old Kongregate game. That got ported over to iOS, and it's basically you build up a small settlement. There's 12 buildings to build, and that's it. And most of the gameplay loop is discovering new factions and then, you know, leveraging multiple factions to improve productivity and stuff like that. And then you abdicate the throne and start over again until you get to the point where you can reincarnate, and then you have benefits there. And it's kind of the typical idle gameplay loop, no different than Kitten's Game. Honestly, it's very similar you structurally restart. To Kitten's Game.
Yeah, you restart to go faster, to restart to go faster.
Yep, yep. To kill yourself to go even faster the next time. But it's just kind of quick and easy. And I think the thing that I thought was interesting about it is with the different factions, like the good factions focus on spells and clicking. The evil factions focus on productivity and offline. And then there's like a neutral faction that combines both. And so like I'll typically abdicate before bed, build up an evil one and let it produce a during the night, and
that's a great sentence. Yeah. Abdicate before bed,
produce an evil.
Yeah, yeah. Abdicate just started evil society before bed. It's but it's fairly simple for the most part. It's just been something that has been nice to click for, you know, 3-4 minutes and come back to a couple hours later here and there.
Is this one of those free to play situations or like microtransaction sort of stuff, or
fully free to play? There is paid currency you can get that are gems that you can use to kind of boost things a little bit, but you also get them by excavating, which is like another part of the game. And then after you do a certain number of excavations, you get some bonuses, as well as you can find other factions through excavating. So it's part of the game that gives you kind of that higher level currency. But if you are someone who wants to really go fast, you can definitely purchase that currency as well. So
have you found console commands yet?
Are there console commands? I hope not.
That was the downfall of Kitten's Game for us.
That's right. Oh, that's right. Because Scrappy really fucking betrayed us.
I just gave myself a billion of the currency that takes forever to mine or whatever, and
ruined the whole experience.
I saw the face of God by doing that. So. I saw through the veil. I got to see the fifth dimension by doing that.
Disappointed in you.
It's been like a year and a half. Yeah. I'm going to hold a grudge forever for this one.
Yeah, I could live with that, I think.
That's what you think. So we're in LA and there's a bus going by.
Oh no.
We won't be living with much for long.
For Kitten's Game, bitch. Fuck. For Kitten's Game.
You know, I feel like that's just something that would only happen in LA.
The police start questioning me, like, dude, you guys wouldn't understand. This is just fine. I just got rid of an evil.
Oh man. You know, now I do wonder if all of us logged into Kitten's Game right now, like what our stats. Because they just keep going, right?
Not on. No, you gotta be on.
Oh no, you got okay. Well,
no, just enable it, so if it's still open in the tab, it will continue running. But yeah, if you close it, it doesn't go. Was the thing about this was the production happens if you close the app too.
That's messed up. What kind of idle game is that?
That's not hardcore. That's not the Dark Souls.
That's a casual idle game. What the fuck?
It's like a Nuzlocke idle game. Yeah. Need to have it open for it to count.
Figures. Mm-hmm. Figures Rut would be playing the normie games.
Wow.
Fucking Rut. You damn normie.
Well, that's Realm Grinder, Kongregate game. I Googled it before we started the pod. You can legit play it on Kongregate.com right now. So
yeah, you can link your Kongregate account to the app. So
yeah. There you go. Easy. Stretch, you've been playing a game called Stray Blade. How you feeling about it?
I've been attempting to play Stray Blade.
Mm-hmm.
Played a little bit of it.
I did. I got 5 hours into it. So it is. It keeps marketing itself as an action adventure, but it's very much like inspired by Souls games. There's a whole bunch of very interesting aspects to it. It is a third person action adventure game. Your character doesn't have a face, or at least like not a recognizable face when the game loads up. you put in a name, you put in what body type you want and what voice, a male or a female presenting voice. But your character is like, you know, they've got like goggles on and then like a drawn up scarf and a hat. So there's like actually no way for you to tell anything about the character. And you get trapped on this island, or trapped in this like Valley of the Gods, and you need to try to escape. There's a whole bunch of really weird stylistic choices going on with this for a Souls-like. Kind of the one of the first big issues was that the game was consistently dropping inputs, which
is what you want in a Souls-like.
Yeah, and the special attack, which requires two button presses to happen at the same time to activate. I was playing it with a controller, just didn't activate half the time, so that was also really cool. But there's no like currency that you're building up by killing enemies that you lose when you die. So it was like, yeah, everything about the combat and the structure of the enemies and even the structure of the world, it's a whole bunch of like getting through a whole bunch of stuff, and then you'll like kick down a ladder or grow like some new vines to mean that the world continues to get more and more interconnected. But when you die, you wouldn't lose anything, but also none of the enemies would respawn. So it was just kind of like, okay, I'm just going to like respawn and then run back to where I was and try to kill the thing that killed me again. All of, you know, you level up to a certain point and then you'd get a skill point. And there was actually like quite a large skill tree to the game, but every single skill to be able to, well, every single skill aside from the first seven, you need to have found the blueprint of a weapon, crafted the weapon with resources, and then used the weapon for long enough to obtain mastery. And then you could get a skill check that was associated to that. And the skills were like the basic stuff, like increased health bar, increased stamina bar. You do a little bit more damage with a light or heavy attack.
Mm-hmm.
But it meant that very early in the game, you know, as I've unlocked and mastered like five or six weapons, I'm still sitting there with like three or four skill points that I have that I physically cannot allocate to anything. And it felt like not only like an artificial slowing of progress in the game, but also kind of like punishment for that mentality of like, I'm going to come into a room and kill everyone. Mm. It's like, well, I've already killed enough people for like the next four weapon finds and upgrades. So that was very strange. And then ultimately, unfortunately, I could not finish the game as I got to the first major boss, which was a stag. And you know, like I awoke the stag and fought the stag, killed the stag, and the quest marker didn't update, and like the compass in game didn't update. The arena for the stag, you like drop into, and there's very clearly like an ability that you're meant to get after beating the boss, which then lets you get out. But whatever cutscene that was meant to be just never triggered for me. And first time this happened, I like walked to the very edge of the arena and then walked back into the middle of the arena, and the boss fight started again.
Oh, yeah. So you got your practice in to beat the guy.
Yep. The stag showed up again. And so I was like, oh, okay, I guess I can try fighting it again. So I defeated it, and it died. Nothing progressed. So I'm like, okay, cool. Quit the game, loaded it up, beat the stag again. Didn't progress. Uninstalled the game, reinstalled the game, beat the stag, didn't progress. I did another like walk to the edge of the arena and then back into the middle. This time the stag came back, but the health bar didn't come back. And the stag was just running in loops around the arena, as if like its pathfinding was broken. It was truly an experience.
Yeah.
Did you settle on an 8 or a 9?
I settled on a. I can't finish this game, unfortunately. And as we all know, you've got to be able to finish a game to review it. Mm-hmm. It was weird. Just like from the get-go, it was like Souls, but we're not going to take steps far enough to really be to like to really fit that mold. Tying skill progression behind weapon mastery was odd as well. Like, yeah. I get the idea on practice. It's like we want to reward you for doing everything or for trying out, for building all of the weapons, but it more felt like they were punishing mm-hmm. for playing the game more, that you end up with like a whole bunch of resources that you can do fuck all with.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of a shame, because when I think of like with Souls games, and the way I play them, I kind of stick with one weapon for a while until I get bored of it. But I don't think I would be incentivized to be like, well, I'm going to swap to the spear now so I can master a spear type ability.
And the mastery would maybe take, like, to master a weapon would honestly maybe take like 15, 20 minutes of fighting with it.
Mm.
So then the real slowdown was just like, I don't have any more blueprints to make. And I think I'd gotten about a third of the way through the game, and I had made 7 or 8 of the weapons. But I had 5 or 6 skill points that were just going unused.
Because you couldn't progress.
Yeah.
Well, that's unfortunate to hear with Stray Blade. Hopefully some sort of patch comes out maybe that kind of helps with at least that progress issue for sure. But
I would really hope so.
Yeah, for sure. Well, while we're talking about Souls likes, I've been doing a little bit of homework ahead of Star Wars Jedi Survivor. And I've been going back to play the first game, because back when I played it around the time it launched, I only got to Dathomir and then stopped. So
hey, this is getting interesting. Meh, I'll put El Shelvin.
I don't know about interesting. I ran into some of the Knight Brothers and I was like, eh, I'm good.
You were killing Darth Maul's brethren, man.
You I mean guess. Savage Opress and the other stupid edgelord names that they have?
It's great names.
Sure.
And it's Savage.
Is it Savage?
It's Savage. It's French. Yeah.
Oh my god. No.
Oh, they say it in Clone Wars.
Well, now I am further than that. I think I'm maybe at the final stretch. I'm about to go to Fortress Inquisitoris or some shit. Some edgy ass name for where the Inquisitors come from. So that's kind of where I'm at in the game. I feel like this is definitely starting to feel like final boss territory or ramping up to it.
Who can say?
You're about to get to what is probably people's favorite moment in the game.
Is it the spoiler that I already know?
Probably.
Okay.
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty fucking rad though.
I think overall I am enjoying this playthrough of it. I'm still, you know, I'm not the biggest Star Wars guy, so there's probably still a lot of like Easter eggs and stuff that I'm kind of, it's either going over my head or I'm just not appreciating as much as some other people would. But in terms of video game-ness, gamey stuff, it has me more excited for the sequel, only because there's some bits of it that don't quite work for me, where it's like, it almost hits, it's like 80% there, but then I feel like that's what the sequel is for, to kind of polish up those rough edges.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing hitting me right now is there's like, you know, some side stuff or like exploration stuff to do that I don't feel compelled to do because there is no fast travel. And I really don't want to run around through the mazes and through the labyrinths of some of these levels to figure that out. Yeah. But I think in the sequel, they've said that there's going to be fast travel. I think it's in one of our interviews that we published before. So
yeah,
that's already one big plus for me.
Lack of fast travel in the first one was legitimately frustrating if you wanted to 100% the game.
There's I always thought my biggest, what I took away when I played it, the original one, was that, man, this is a really, really solid foundation for making this better.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of good stuff there. Like, you could see how it could be built on pretty easily and make it really cool. And seemingly they have done, based on what I've seen, that they've done that, or they're attempting to do that anyway, in a cool way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's interesting just to kind of look at this through the lens of, like, Respawn is not known for making third person action games or primarily shooters. Like, a lot of the people are from the Modern Warfare days, even Infinity Ward. So it's interesting to see them execute on this in a way that, like, for the most part, is pretty rock solid, right? If not pretty good.
Yeah.
There's still a few glitches I found. I'm playing it on the Xbox Series X via Game Pass, via EA Play, via Game Pass, if that tracks.
Yes.
So I'm still finding a few glitches that I'm hoping maybe, you know, we don't see as many of in the sequel, but they're not, like, so game breaking that I have to, like, uninstall, reinstall, or anything like that. Overall, I think I'm enjoying this more. I'm enjoying Cal as a character. I feel like he is surprisingly interesting for a Jedi type of guy.
How dare you? How dare you?
I mean, he's pretty interesting. Like, I think he has a pretty nice character arc so far, and, like, BD is that perfect kind of foil for him. I think it's he's a perfectly used droid where it's not too gimmicky, but it's still, like, just enough to have some kind of good story moments for Cal to bounce off of. Mm. Yeah.
BD's the best, man.
Yeah, BD is great. And Seer and Grease, the two people on the plane, on the ship, they're fun. And I did just get the Night Sister. You just got her to join too. I don't know how much that's going to change by the end of the game. But yeah, I think I am on board for the sequel for sure. Like, I was probably going to check it out just out of curiosity, but now I'm, like, kind of looking forward to it, you know, to see what's up. And that's going to be this Friday when it launches. So
yeah. Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm. How long do we think it will be until Cameron Monaghan shows up in Mandalorian or something? Because they've got to be
as Cal.
The time difference is pretty big.
Or wherever the time would make relevant.
In one of the shows,
yeah.
We'll say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, the Mando time difference is not quite there.
Fallen Order is after episode 3, but before 4.
Correct.
Right?
And Mando's after between 6 and 7. Yeah. It's after Return of the Jedi.
Gotcha.
So there's a decent amount of time difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess Cal could show up as old man, but he'd be an old man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd be the Obi-Wan.
Time travel. Does Star Wars have time travel?
No.
It does not.
Really?
Not maybe you'll find out in Jedi Survivor. That's. <No. laughs>
Star Wars does not have time travel.
Freeze them in carbonite, it'll be fine.
There you go.
That's so weird. Why does Star Wars not have time travel?
Why is it weird?
Well, look, why would Star Wars
is already teetering on the edge of being bullshit. Like, we don't need to add that.
It's
like,
teetering on the galaxy's edge.
It's like the hoops that Star Wars or Star Trek has to go through to justify time travel. Let's not.
Okay, let's be honest. What hoops does it need to jump through to justify time travel? Does it really need to jump?
That's probably the wrong word. They just make shit up. Like, we went around the sun too fast and we went back 300 years.
You could just be like, and Luke found a time travel machine. And ended up in episode 10 to help Rey form the new Jedi Order.
I get we're trying to make fun here, but this mockery is too far. I will not let this stand. I cannot let you imply that Star Wars is that stupid.
This is funny because I'm rewatching DS9 from Star Trek.
Nobody go look at the Star Wars channel we have in Slack to see what I've said in the past. Don't call me out.
Oh god.
Pull that up now.
Yeah. Ruth's pulling out, he's doing his own homework now.
I'm sure if you just look up Star Wars fucking sucks, you'll see multiple messages from me.
Those exact words. Star Wars fucking sucks.
Yeah.
He says it a lot, so yeah.
Like 149 hits in the past 2 weeks.
No, no, I'm not one of those Star Wars fans. They're rough. It's a rough fan base.
Mm-hmm. But no, I'm you know, I'm on board for this. I think I want to see where the rest of the story goes. I mean, I kind of know how Fallen Order ends already, just because of the, you know, spoilers have just been out because the game's been out for a couple years. Obviously, no one knows where Jedi Survivor is going to go from here. So kind of interested to see where it ends up.
Not no one, if you know what I'm saying.
God? Just yep. We're talking about God?
Yeah, God knows.
God knows.
Praise be, you know.
Sure, yeah. May the force be with him.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
May the fourth is coming up.
Oh, it is, yeah. I'm betting that they're going to drop an Accolades trailer on May 4th for Jedi Survivor, probably. I bet that's like what they're going for with it. Yeah. But I think it's a cool use of like force powers, how they work in the Souls type of gameplay. Very curious to see how it expands from there. Because it does feel, I think the thing that feels the most clunky for me right now is the, I just got the dual wielding sabers, but it's only mapped to like one button, kind of. Like you only, do it like one specific way.
Which, yeah, they were talked about that's changed immediately in the next game.
Yeah, the next game, yeah, it's one of the five stances you can be in, which is nice to see that that's just, that you can just always have the dual wielding.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... I mean, I'm excited for Friday, and we'll probably talk about Jedi Survivor on next week's pod for sure.
For sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. Is it better than Star Wars Episode 9? You'll have to find out next week.
But the answer, I haven't played it. I haven't played it, but yes.
That's the burning question that people have.
That's everyone compares every new Star Wars thing to Episode 9. That's the benchmark.
That's for, the bar. Yeah.
Yeah. but I think that so does it.
Bad. Like, but it's not quite like season 8 Game of Thrones bad, but it's pretty fucking bad.
I think that it was fantastic watching horses running along the top of a destroyer.
I think episode 9 is a lot of fun with alcohol.
Most things are a lot of fun with alcohol.
I'll say you That's can true. Just play
like a lot of things fun with alcohol. It's true. Yeah. But you know, there is some stuff about it you can just point at and laugh in a fun way, you know? You're laughing at it, not with it, but...
No. You know, it was really funny when they made it look like Chewbacca died, but then... Nope, there he is.
Literally a minute later.
Yeah. Oh, there he is.
Yeah. Don't worry. We don't have the guts to kill off our favorite character.
Yep. Oh, no, we wiped C-3PO's memory. He's gone in this very tender moment where he's saying goodbye to his friends.
Didn't they kill Chewie
in... Yeah, he's back.
One of the old video games?
One of the books.
Books he died.
In the books, what like died?
The old canon, yeah.
Wow, they didn't Han gather Solo the Dragon Balls to revive rift,
and Han Solo became a bounty hunter and tracked him down and killed him.
Oh, that actually sounds interesting.
Made it up completely.
It's not true at all.
But that actually sounds interesting.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd read it.
Completely contradictory to their entire relationship.
So, completely, but it's like
they had a thing. Yeah, they had a big fall out.
Something dark side, you know, Jedi mind tricks.
Yeah, no, that book wrecked me.
Chewie called Han's mom a bitch. He just couldn't stand it. Yeah. Had to put a barking dog down.
Mm-hmm.
All right, he made some joke about his mom's last name not being Solo.
Yeah, or Martha. Maybe it was Martha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Or maybe Chewie talked shit like the Kessel Run wasn't that impressive.
But to no one else in the room would it have been something bad? It would have just been like normal day, whatever, playing cards, and then Chewie in the background would have just been like, and then Han turns around, you motherfucker, kills him.
Right there. Han like, finally, he finally shot first.
Yeah, finally snapped.
That'd be the line. Like, you didn't shoot first.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah, Chewie shot first with his words.
Executed.
Mm-hmm. That does it, I think, this week's episode of the Tech Wrap Podcast. We hope you enjoyed, and if you did, please leave us a review on whatever platform you're listening on. Hit subscribe if you haven't already, and let us know down in the comments below, does the Sony acquisition of Firewalk Studios upset you? Are you thinking they're finally hypocrites?
Fuck off and go outside and think about your life.
Is this their mask off moment where they finally reveal they're hypocrites? Let us know in the comments down below. If you want more news, features, reviews from us, etc., you can check out techraptor.net for all of that. But if you want more of this show, we will be back in your feeds next Monday, and we will see you then. You can't.